We're still studying examples of what faith is. Let's go to
I watched something
Pardon?
I watched something on Nightline last night. It really rattled my faith. Maybe it's not faith of God, faith of mankind, or there's none. There's a country called, I think it's called Miramar. Maybe that used to be Burma. And the absolute slaughter and execution of a minority Muslim, Rohingyas or something, and just graphic footage, just it almost reminds you what's happening back in the old Czech Republic, in Czechoslovakia, when the Muslims and the Christians were just slaughtering.
Was a Christian slaughtering?
I'm not sure. The government, and then the president was, she was this new democratically elected.
That's not a Christian country woman. By any means.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably Buddhist.
Well, a lot of those countries there have gone Islamic.
Yeah, Islamic and Buddhist. I don't know. I just know that it was. It's horrifying. And you just wonder what was going on. But maybe this has been going on forever. Now we just have 24/7. So now we see all that. Now we see all the truth. You know what's been going on forever.
We read about it all the time.
That's just one example of many where.
We're still studying faith, and now we're studying the New Testament. Let's go to Acts 8, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. Let's start in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in a chariot in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to meet him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before the shearers, his shearer. And he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said, or answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with thine heart, all thine heart, that thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That's one of the most amazing examples of faith there is. And it's just another indication how that the Old Testament preaches Jesus. But here, the eunuch, he's the holder of all of the wealth of the Queen of Sheba. He obviously is learned, but something caused him to stop everything that he was doing to read Isaiah.
He's reading something he can't understand.
Well, he just said, he read a passage and said, "What meanest thou this?" But I don't know how much he understood or didn't understand. But anyway, he asked if this was Jesus, or he asked who was this that was speaking about. I mean, there's a whole lot of Christians that don't know the answer to that, because they don't read the Old Testament, because that's the old God, the bad God. We've got the new God that loves everybody.
I noticed in 37 it said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, then you can be baptized." We talk about often about getting to that point where we are ready to
be buried.
Believe fully. Yeah.
Where you're ready to be buried,
yeah.
Dead.
Yeah.
But this, first of all, the idea that Philip just disappeared, the Spirit of the Lord took him, that's pretty. I don't know, it's ooh you in a big way. But the idea that there would be an unction for Philip to go down and find this guy in the first place, I think if we had the...
That's being pretty open to the Spirit.
Huh?
That's being pretty open to faith and walking by faith in the Spirit to leave everything and go look for somebody in the desert.
Yeah.
It says the angel of the Lord told him to. Right?
Let's see. Yeah. It does, yeah. 26.
So, that's an interesting encounter to have an angel say, "Here's what you need to do."
Well, the reason, this is... first of all, it's Philip's emptying to such a point that he could hear and believe that. I mean, he had to have, as just about everybody that became believers then, I mean, they became empty before God. They had the mind of Christ. And that place is where this kind of thing happens and can happen. back when we were doing this Samaza program, the examples of faith in Russia at that time and some of the other countries, what happened was just unbelievable to us as modern Christians, because it was duplicating the faith that was in the scriptures. This kind of faith, it's a faith that it's all or nothing. There's no middle ground. It's everything. The one example just keeps coming to my mind that I would rather forget about, but there was a Russian, well, I don't know if he's Russian, but he was from the Cold War countries, and he was a pastor, and he kept having sexual images that were just about constant in his mind. And he couldn't deal with it, because he wrote all kinds of stuff up. This guy wrote all this down, and he was so upset by it that he was in a gulag. But he found a nail, and he pounded the nail sitting on a bench into his he pounded it into his scrotum, and then fell, and he castrated himself because his faith was so complete that.
Wow, I've never heard this story, and I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, that kind of thing is. We can say, well, he must have been crazy or whatever, but it's that kind of faith that the other guy that was prominent, that we had a small part at least in getting him. The U.S. traded a couple of spies to free this guy, Georgie Vins. And he was a pastor of great renown in Russia. And the exchange was made between Germany and East Germany and West Germany at that Brandenburg Gate thing. And then he came here. He didn't come to Dallas, but he came here, and Bloom had a great big part in that, more than I did, but he was speaking all over the country, and he was getting more and more upset, and he finally went up to, they had the Christian Booksellers Association up in somewhere, I think maybe it had been Chicago. And he went to it and decided he wanted to go back to Russia. He didn't. He was so upset by that what went on in the name of Christianity in the United States, that he was willing to go back to, he wanted to go back, not just willing, he did go back to Russia. I don't know if he ever got arrested again, but more than likely he did. But it's the same response I had, except here's was much more dramatic. When I wrote that book, and then I went, the publisher had me go to the Christian Booksellers Association, and it was in someplace. Anyway, I walked into it was in a big amphitheater kind of thing, or not amphitheater, but it was huge. And I started, as I was walking from where the cab left me off to the door, I kept getting this heavier and heavier and heavier feeling. And I walked in, and I walked back. I was supposed to sit behind a little desk and sign books. And I got to that place. It wasn't too far from the entrance. And I just told whoever was there, it was somebody that worked for the publisher. I said, I got to get out of here. And I just turned around and left. And then the publisher made me pay for the return ticket to Dallas. But I don't know if you've ever been to a Christian bookseller's, but it's now worse than it was then. I mean, it's just like everybody's trying to sell you something. And it just, I can only imagine a little bit what the feeling must have been for Georgie Vins when he went to that convention in Chicago or wherever it was. But it's something that is, in those countries where the church is persecuted, they wouldn't recognize American Christianity as what they believe, what they live. We think nothing of mixing with the world, all the politics. We think nothing of continuing our life in the world. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. But anyway, I don't want to make this a big deal, but it's just compared to what happened here with Philip is what caused that chain of thought. Would we even hear the Spirit if he told us to do that? Same God, the same Spirit. But we've put our minds in positions so we think we can have a Christian mind, which it can't be done. Anyhow, I don't feel like talking anymore. It's probably enough anyway. But think of the faith of Philip. Would you hear the Spirit? Would you know? Or would you just think it was some harebrained idea? I don't know, frankly, if I would. But we've got to shut down the noise of this evil one before we can hear anything of God.
There's something in here you refer to where they returned to Jerusalem and they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So their whole lives are consumed daily, hourly, continually with preaching the gospel and talking to people. And I think part of what you had said, this was part of their emptying. And as they emptied, God would fill. And it's about this same time the angel of the Lord says to Philip, get up, go do this. So that concept of emptying is implicit here.
Well, yeah.
And it provides a place where you do hear. It's not like you have to listen real hard or try, but it's just enough.
But you don't hear anything else but that because you've emptied. But he only occupies where we have emptied. We want to think that he is, that the Spirit of God is going to just lead us around. No, he's not, unless you're emptied. And that emptiness is the mind of Christ, where there's a direct line to the Holy Spirit, to the mind of Christ, to God. But we fill it up. We fill us. We don't go to war with our mind. We sort of just think it's going to be okay. But the mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. That's why the mind of Christ is a vacuum, empty. Consider these things. Amen?
Amen.
Any other response? All right, take it, big guy.